from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, hour number two is underway here on Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you. It is Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. It is Jad Chambers manning that IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's a lot of pancakes. How many pancakes can you take down, Tommy, do you think, in one? You big pancake guy?
I've been known to demolish a stack of pancakes in my day, so I think I could probably do quite a few. That could be a fun challenge between you and me.
So, well, I'd tell you, though, like pancakes for me, I like pancakes, but I like all the other parts of breakfast way more. Like, I like a pancake as almost like a side. Like, if you're going to replace toast in a traditional, but I want the eggs, the meat, the potatoes far more than I want the pancake. So you take me down there. I will. I have done a pancake eating contest. I forgive me if I've told this story. So back in the days of Amarillo small market television, the sports guys, we would go on this road tour every summer, and you would go to all the small towns. And somehow the sports guys got roped into doing all the wild and crazy challenges each town would offer. Because, I mean, of course, we'll do anything, whatever. So we might do like the frozen cow tongue football contest, or I won a greased pig catching contest. They didn't know what they were getting in for from this farm boy. I took that thing down in like 2 seconds. But we did all kinds of eating contests, burgers, hot dogs, ice cream, which is the worst, I thought, until I tried a pancake eating contest. So we go to this small town and they're like, hey, there's the sports guys. We got one for you. We're going to do a pancake eating contest. I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. Not a big deal. And I tell this story. This story came up not too long ago. Now, my buddy Matt Hamilton, who's general manager of the Wind Surge, we were cohorts in TV. This was our content that we were on this particular tour stop. And we go, and he can eat too. And look, I know I don't look like it, but I have one Chick-fil-A chicken nugget eating contest. Like, I can eat. Like, if you challenge me to a pizza eating contest, you're toast. If you challenge me to something like a chicken nugget, like, you're toast. I'll kill you in it. Pancakes, not so much. So we get there. And I'm thinking like, you know, a stack of pancakes, right? Like, a, I'm like, okay, yeah. I could do this. Yeah. This won't be too bad. Anything with bread, by the way, in an eating contest, go the other way. So we get there and it's like a, it's almost like a deep dish pancake. So imagine like a pan, like a frying pan, right? And it's like this inch or 2 inch thick pancake. And it's huge. It, you know, I don't, it's probably the equivalent of your standard frying pan. It's just a massive pancake. Brutal. Absolutely brutal to try and take that thing down in that format. The hardest eating contest hands down I've ever done. So we're trying to get through it. I just get smashed. Matt does a better job. Like, he's there to the end. And I'm not kidding. This is small town, Texas Panhandle. He finally has to bow out. He might have puked. But he has to bow out. And on the other side of the table from us, one of the contestants, and maybe I'm embellishing this, but this is the way it lives in my head. I'm talking like overalls, no undershirt, big old boy. And not only does he finish his pancake, he finishes his pancake while staring us in the eye, right? Like staring us down. And without skipping a beat, They didn't put syrup on there. They gave you syrup on the side. So he's got like this container of syrup without skipping a beat, without breaking eye contact, finishes his pancake, takes that syrup shooter and just downs it like a shot of whiskey. Never loses eye contact. I mean, just absolutely emasculating. Like, it was bad. It was bad. So you would beat me in a pancake eating contest. I can almost guarantee it.
I think that I would beat you in a lot of different eating contests. I'm a little rusty. It's been a minute since I've done that.
You wouldn't. But as many as you think you would.
No, I think I would. And, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from your accomplishments back in the day. But if you put you and I next to each other and people look at you and I and we ask them who would win an eating contest, I guarantee you every single person would say that I would. And like, I agree with that. I think that I would.
You and everybody I used to destroy in the eating contest.
I believe that I would.
I don't see it here. I don't know if I have it at home. It somewhere exists a chicken nugget chicken eating contest that I took down against a bunch of firemen and cops and, you know, sheriff's deputies. I have a trophy for it. I don't know where that trophy is. It might be in my office at work. I got to find that trophy. I'll show you.
I mean, I did a burrito eating contest, you know, 10 years ago in radio here in Wichita, won that.
You allowed your beans and your meat to touch in a burrito? I'm proud of you.
Well, if it's an eating, there's a difference between eating to win a contest and eating to enjoy it.
So you'd get me in some, if it involves meat, I would say probably not. Like if we went thin crust pizza, Tommy, I would put you through the ground. Now here's the question I would have for you though, in an eating contest, because this is important as local media honks have done a billion of these. Do you prefer like the amount of food or the speed at which you eat the food? So like the hot dog eating contest, right? The Nathan's, that's all about speed.
Yeah.
I have done both.
The best ones that I've been a part of and where I have the most success is you have a time limit to finish. So it's not necessarily how much you eat. You need to finish the meal within a certain time frame.
An amount of food over.
Right.
So the chicken nugget eating contest was sort of endless. They gave you a time at how many you could eat. Like, so it's how many you could eat in a certain amount of time. I actually prefer those versus like, you know, you have this obscene amount of food. Can you finish it? Like it's almost like a race. So that probably matters too. But I get made fun of in my family. Like I'm the trash compactor. If there are leftover anything, because I hate wasting food. Again, farm boy in me. I hate wasting food. I'll just clean everybody's plate. I know I don't look like it all the time. That's, you know, nature's been good to me.
I think you're really the only competitions that I struggle with, yours might be pancakes or bread, of thing. For me, it's dairy. Like I couldn't do
ice cream is the way. That's not fun.
Like I've done those before, sure. And I don't do well with those. Yeah, and like
I don't
dairy
do well
and
meat
don't
sweet.
Usually get along in general, yeah. You know. Any, so that's like not sweet. a good thing. But man, like you know, you mentioned thin crust pizza. Like man, I promise you, I would put you away in a thin crust pizza eating contest.
Well, let's get, you know, some of our, let's, we can figure out, well, I don't know these things now. It, like my recovery time as we're older is just brutal, but whatever. I don't back down from challenges. So maybe we can get something like that.
How about a beer drinking contest? Who would win in a beer drinking contest?
I'm confident. I'm pretty confident. I'm
pretty
there.
Confident myself. I think you know, I would, yeah.
I haven't lost a lot of those in my day either. Again, don't do them nearly as often as I once did, but yeah. I would be relatively confident there. Wine drinking, you could take me down, you know, contest. Ice cream eating contest, by the way. I went to, was it Riverfest that does the big ice cream eating contest? I did that one year and I was devastated. Because I had this strategy, right? Everybody's eating. It was hot. It was like 100 degrees or whatever it was. And I'm like, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. So I had this plan in my head. They start it and I just start stirring that ice cream. Because I was going to melt it and just drink it all. And then I would take down like the whole thing and everyone else is just miserable. And I was just going to chug it. And I can't remember, something happened where my plan got derailed and it appeared that I took like 4 bites and I never felt I felt like such a loser. I don't remember. Something happened in the middle of it where that my plan like went terribly awry. But no, we could throw it down. We can throw it down. Anyway, IHOP has an all-you-can-eat pancake deal running through September 15th. That's what got us down that rabbit hole. We're talking Chiefs here. Tommy, before the break, we said like, let's power rank the meaningful things we could actually take away from a first preseason game. I would say the easy top thing is left tackle, right? Like how does the left tackle position look? It's probably unfair because that one seems pretty obvious to me. Is there another one that you would put up in that stratosphere?
That's probably number one. I think for me, number two, and I think it might actually be a close number two, would be running back, because we've heard a lot about Isaiah Pacheco. We've heard a little bit about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Denaric Prince has actually gotten a good amount of reps.
I don't think it's much of a question because I think Prince is the clear cut backup.
But I want to see that. I want to see what that actually looks like in real time in a game. You know, and because there have been times before where you've had players that have gotten a lot of reps in training camp. In fact, Denaric Prince last season was the talk of training camp. Him and Justin Ross, both of those guys were, and then they didn't really get much of an opportunity. And in Prince's case, didn't really get any opportunity at all. With a running back, the Chiefs, other than re-signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire, didn't do anything at the running back position. They let Jerick McKinnon go. You know, they let Michael Pirine go.
What does that tell you?
I think it tells me that they feel more confident in their wide receivers because Jerick McKinnon was doing a lot of
He
was pass catching out of the backfield.
They're going to sling it this year. That's why I've been so in on Mahomes statistically is – That was sort of the first thing to me where I was like, huh, they're just going to run it back with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That doesn't seem like a weapon. That seems like he knows the offense just in case. And then Prince, that was the first time where I was like, man, and then of course they draft Worthy and they do all these things. Yeah. And now as time plays out, like they are going to sling it. I honestly, like I'm thinking back to like 2019, 2020 style Chiefs is what they have in their brains. They had Kareem Hunt back in those days, right? It wasn't like, what I'm saying that it's not like a knock on Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco can catch the ball. Pacheco can pass protect. So when I say they're going to sling it, it's not like, I mean that Pacheco becomes a smaller part of the offense. I don't mean that all, but I mean the pace is going to pick up. Like they're going to just try to run people to death using Tony as a gadget guy. Like all of these things tell, I feel like they're going to pick it up and look more like those early Mahomes Chiefs offenses than we have had in the last, I don't know, we call it 3 years, probably, where it's been a little more paced and controlled and, you know, dink and dunk and all of that stuff. I don't think that's going to happen. And I do think the running backs are a part of that. I'm with you on that position. I just want to know if Prince is good enough. You know what I mean? Because they had that chance last year and it didn't happen. So what's changed?
Well, they had more personnel at that position group last year, where Prince was kind of the odd man out. I mean, remember, P. Ryan was there, and of course McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They had quite a few people behind Isaiah Pacheco, where Prince ended up being the odd man out. I think that they also felt like, because he was an undrafted free agent, that they felt like he was an exciting talent. They liked his skill set, that it might serve him well to have a year to, you know, not be in that position. They clearly like his development enough to where he's been getting those reps in training camp. That's why I'm interested to see how that plays out in an actual preseason game. Will they give him those reps in the game, or was it just, again, another year of a lot of excitement in training camp, but then really nothing materializes?
Is Prince good enough? Do you think Prince is good enough?
I think Prince has the raw talent to be good enough. And of course the Chiefs wouldn't have signed him as an undrafted free agent if they didn't think so either.
You know, I don't think it matters too much. Look, if this offense had to run through Clyde Edwards-Helaire back there, I think they would be okay. They wouldn't be as dynamic. There's no question about that. Pacheco is a weapon. And I'm not sure either of those guys you would say are a weapon. You know what I mean? I think that's the big difference. Those guys are fine placeholders. Those guys probably give them the ability to do what they need to do. But Isaiah Pacheco is a bona fide weapon for this offense. Let's hope he stays healthy. I said this yesterday, I would be totally fine if we didn't see Isaiah Pacheco play a snap in the preseason. What about on the defensive side of the ball? Because I think there are clearly questions over there. I just don't think we ever get much out of the preseason on that side. I don't think we're going to see much. Spags isn't going to show anything that he would do in the regular season. So while I want to watch the secondary and see how those guys and the young players and, you know, can Felix and Udike use them, I don't think they're going to get much of an opportunity to show you what they'd show you in the regular season. So I think it's a fine thing to want to see. I just don't think we will actually see it.
I go back to the secondary. That's really where it lines up to me, because of those players that, at least last season, we saw them in spurts and flashes as backups and second stringers, even special teamers, that now the Chiefs are going to be leaning on in the absence of Legarius Sneed. And will they get game time, and will it be productive for them in the secondary? Will they get a chance to shine? And the names stand out as the players that you would think are going to be filling that role at various levels, whether that's Connor or Williams or, you know, whoever. But there are others too that I know, because if you've got players that now have to slide in that starting role, that first string role, to replace Legarius Sneed, well, then you need to have somebody fill the backup slot, the second team spot, the special teamers. And there could very well be some players out there that, you know, we haven't thought about. One other quick thing, just real quick, going back to the running back room that I have forgotten about a lot that we haven't mentioned, is they've got the rugby guy, right? Like, and I don't know exactly how that's all going to pan out. Is that fun? Is it just fun? Zammet. Is that a legitimate thing? Will he solidify himself as somebody that can be in the running back room as a gadget type guy?
I think they want him on special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other obvious answer to this question is special teams, by the way. You're not going to show anything in the return game, but I do think it'll matter who is returning, even though they're not going to show you much. And then who kicks? Do they go with Reed? He's been a little nicked up. Do they go with Butker? How does that look? Not so much even for the Chiefs, but in general football. I am curious, because look, I haven't watched the videos. I didn't watch the XFL. Like, I need to see it. Yep. I got to just see it. That's the other one, league-wide.
Do you have an interest in seeing Matt Araiza and what he can do now as the new punter for the team? Like, does that matter to you?
Not, I mean, absolutely not. No. I mean, the Chiefs aren't going to be punting much. So, yeah, I mean, I hope he can punt, but I just don't really care. because and that's unfair to, because Townsend was important to them last year. That field positioning and all that stuff really mattered to that team. I just think we're looking at a totally different situation. I will be shocked if they punt nearly as often as they did a year ago. This doesn't strike me as the kind of offense that's going to be in that business this year. Two different seasons, two different teams, two totally different offenses. I just don't think they'll, I mean, yeah, maybe he'll be awesome. He certainly can bomb it. I just don't think he'll get very many opportunities with the Chiefs because I don't think they intend to punt very often. That's not the way they'll be built this year. I don't think they're good enough defensively, at least on paper, until we see it, to play that kind of football. And I don't think they have any interest in playing that kind of football offensively. But who knows? Things happen, and you're glad a talented guy's on the roster. They certainly lost a talented punter. We'll have more on that before we let you go today. We'll get you all the details on how you can hear the game over on the home of the Chiefs, KNSS. When we come back, we'll bounce around again. A little bit of Royals, maybe from a betting perspective. We've got an interview coming up this hour, too, with a big charity event coming to town. So we'll get into that as well. It's all coming for you here in hour number two of Sports Daily. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy, did I miss something on the kicks? Andy Reid, did he say Butker was going to handle the kickoff duties?
Yeah, if he did, that was not anything that I saw. So
I didn't see that either. No. Jad, did you see that, Jad?
I vaguely remember seeing something like that. But
he might have. I could have missed it. I could have missed it. And we'll see. I mean, look, I think the reality with a kickoff is I'm not sure anybody really has a good grasp of it yet. If they feel like Butker's a liability out there making tackles, then that's where Reid makes sense. But you have to be able to place it in a pretty particular area. So it's not like just anybody can do it. So we'll keep an eye on that. I do feel like we're going to get a lot of kick return touchdowns, and I think it's going to be really awesome and exciting, by the way. I think it's going to be really cool. I can't wait for it. Tommy, the Royals tonight, let's take a quick look here at the bets. So they're favored. But, you know, with Lorenzen on the mound, it's not like an overwhelming, you know, I think they're minus 115. Let me double check that here. Minus 120. I'm seeing them. You can get, you know, if you can get better odds, obviously, if you give a couple of runs. I don't know how to approach the matchup itself with Lorenzen on the mound at this point, quite frankly. But then you go to those player props, and you take the two hottest Royals and you can just kind of keep going with them a little bit. I love the total bases. I think the total hits can get a little deceiving, remember, because walks don't count to that. So I like total bases. Bobby Witt Jr. Still catching plus money at over 2.5, which means, you know, a home run or a double and a single or a walk and a double and all that, you're there. And then Benny, you can get plus money on over 1.5. So a walk and a hit basically gets you there. I kind of like both of those. I think you keep beating that drum, banging that drum until those guys slow down a little bit.
My favorite thing, I think, in the game tonight specifically is I love the over in this game. The Royals and the Cardinals have gone over in 3 of their last 4 meetings. And so I think that trend is there. And then also you look at Michaelis pitching for the Cardinals. His ERA is high. It's over 5. He's been historically a pretty good pitcher in Major League Baseball, hasn't had a great year. His ERA, like I mentioned, is high. And so I think that comes into play. And Lorenzen, while he's been an overall good pitcher this year, he can give up runs also. So the over that line is, I think, at 9.5. I like that over in tonight's game, and that's what I'm going to ride with.
Yeah, I could be there. Let me just see real quick. So if I took Witt over 2.5 and put it with Vinny over 1.5 together, that parlays into a plus 355. I kind of like that. Basically, it's just a bet for those two to stay hot. And maybe I go there. You like the over. That would lean into that too. And it just means they're gonna be producing a little bit of offense. But it's a 7:10 start tonight. I'm actually thinking about going to the game tomorrow, but it'll be fun. I'm curious to see an atmosphere and how big a rivalry. I don't have a good grasp of the rivalry, the Cardinals-Royals rivalry. But from what I see in reaction, like when the Royals swept that doubleheader earlier in this year, people get really fired up for it. It's hard for me to imagine that, because other than just like some chance interleague meetings, like it's not like they have a long history of playing each other.
Well, but you got to go back to the 85 World Series. I mean, that's really where a lot of that stems from, is, you know, those two teams facing off in the I-70 series, you know, for basically the whole shebang. And the Royals, of course, got the win in that series. And so you've got that rivalry because of that. You know, they're down the road from each other a few hours. And, you know, that's been a pretty big deal for a long time. And so that's, I think, a major reason, probably the biggest reason, as to why usually those dates are circled on the calendar. And I think that the other thing, too, is that the Cardinals have had a long history of success year after year after year, it seems like, where they're always in the mix. They're always going to the playoffs, winning World Series, things like that. The Royals, you know, look at their counterparts across the state. They haven't had that sustained level of success. And so there's always kind of been, I think, that jealousy also that plays into it. So these are usually big games between these two teams.
It's a fun rivalry. It's obviously the Kansas City St. Louis thing. I'm looking forward to it. Again, though, like it doesn't feel the same way that the other series recently have felt. But then you get that rivalry piece, and that's what I haven't really had a good grasp or understanding on. So that will be fun to see. I am curious to see Lorenzen again, and we'll see. You know, we haven't still, Tommy, we keep asking this question. We still haven't seen the preferred. We still haven't seen the preferred way to end a game for the Royals. Like, what does the bullpen stack up at the end of the game? You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. And I mean, it seems like Will Smith has been kind of the guy recently that Quintero is leaning into. And like I mentioned yesterday, I think that they're priming him to, I think, ideally want to be back in some of those high leverage situations, because that's why they brought him in to the ball club this season as a free agent. And so I do think that more than likely we'll continue to see him until or unless he gives the Royals a reason to not put him back in that kind of role. But of course the upside is high on Lucas Ersig, and can Hunter Harvey get things turned around? So, you know, at the end of the day, like, again, it's there, he's going to ride the hot hand in that bullpen in those situations. I don't think that we're anywhere close to a scenario where Quintero knows exactly who his late innings guy is going to be night in and night out. It's going to be the hot hand.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see it. 7:10 first pitch. You'll hear it right here on KFH. All right, Tommy, set us up here, because we have some guests joining the show now for a big event that we're part of, that we're excited about, a charity event coming up next weekend. It is the All Ball event. Tim Tebow, we've been giving away some tickets to this. So while we get this set up, I'm going to set up that giveaway here for the hour. So here's what we have. You can win a pair of tickets to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser, the portion that features Tim Tebow. We got August 16th and 17th at Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual developmental disabilities. So Tim Tebow is going to be joined by some local legends that include Gene Stevenson, Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey, Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, and more. All you got to do to win a pair of tickets to this cool event is text the keyword Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply on that. Winners will get some signed Tebow memorabilia, we're told, as well. So to enter, text Tim to 20357. Tommy?
Yeah, we're really excited to have a couple of special guests here on the show with us, PJ and Stephanie Forbes, here on Sports Daily. PJ and Stephanie, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's going to be such a fun time next weekend. And, you know, Jacob, you just mentioned some of the events going on. I mean, we've got 2 full days of events with this All Ball weekend benefiting Shepherd's Way. And, you know, PJ, I'll start with you. As far as your involvement in this event here in Wichita, I know obviously you're a former Shocker, but being involved in an event like this in Wichita for, you know, such a great cause, what does that mean for you?
Well,
it's exciting, first of all, Dorian Graham and Ben and Brittany French getting us involved. Very exciting for us to be able to give back in whatever way possible. Wish we could do more. Talked to Ben yesterday about that. But just to be involved and a part of it, very excited. And looking forward to next weekend and everything it brings.
So when you look at the weekend, I mean, is it the softball that gets you the most excited? I think that's what. So Tommy and I are just, you know, simply going to be out there trying to make everybody laugh and have a good time. You guys get out there and play. I love these kinds of events, especially, you know, especially when you're getting people one of the best days of their lives on the other side of it.
Yeah, I volunteered to coach. The playing days have passed me by. I said I'll be opposite of Gene. Gene can have one team, and I'll take the other. But it is, you know, I can't wait to see the looks on everybody's face tomorrow. I know it's going to be – or not tomorrow, next weekend. I know it's going to be a great day. And just looking forward to the support that and not only the support but the recognition that Shepherd's Way is, you know, getting all that out there and being a part of it. Very excited.
Stephanie, how about you? I mean, as far as, you know, the involvement that you guys have in this event and, you know, being able to be involved in it and to help out Shepherd's Way here in Wichita and what they do for, you know, folks in the community that are developmentally disabled and finding good, great and better opportunities for them. What does that mean for you?
Well, I'm just really grateful that, you know, we've been able to be a part of it because we weren't really familiar with the organization before we were asked to get involved. And so now just having the awareness that it's there, we're looking forward to learning more about it in the next few weeks, even beyond the All Ball weekend. And we're super excited. We've got 6 children and we're excited for them to learn more and to maybe, you know, be an opportunity for them to even get more involved. And so we're always grateful for an opportunity to help in the community and just be a part of something really.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Really big.
So there's the Tebow portion of this. And by the way, again, text the keyword TIM to 20357. To get involved in that part of it. There's the softball part of it. You can go find the information at all-ballweekend.org. And I know Ben is watching us. We appreciate Ben. Here's some other information. You can reach out to Ben directly at 316-214-0060. You can also reach out to Dorian at 316-209-4608. But again, all-ballweekend.org is the place to be. There's all kinds of cool stuff in here. I mean, Tebow's coming to town, right? Have you guys had an opportunity to meet Tebow before?
We have not, but we are actually in Gainesville, Florida right now. We just stopped by his Heisman statue. We're going to go back and take a picture in front of it. Our daughter is graduating from the University of Florida tonight. So we're going to go back by the football stadium, take a picture of it, and make sure we show it to him when we do get to meet him. But I've heard nothing but great things about having him speak in events. I'm sure he will get people fired up for Shepherd's Way and the All Ball Weekend, and really looking forward to meeting him after all he's done in his years after football and the awareness he brings to special events.
PJ, not to put you on the spot here, but I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about your thoughts on Shocker baseball. Brian Green, new head coach for the Shocker baseball team. It really seems like there's a lot of excitement and things like that growing and building. And, you know, of course, having Gene Stephenson with his full support on the program. What does that mean to you as far as where Shocker baseball is right now and where it's headed in the future?
Well, I think I went out to a game, spent the evening with Gene and Phil Stephenson in their box. And, Gene's obviously spent a lot of time around the program, so I trust his opinion. He's very excited about Brian and what he's bringing to the program. We know it's going to be a step-by-step process to get Shocker baseball back to where we all want it. And that's the main thing for me. I want Shocker baseball back in the mix and being talked about year in and year out when it comes to June, because that's when, regional, super regionals, College World Series take place. I think everyone involved and on the periphery, we just want to see it back to the years, the glory years of the late 80s, early 90s. And people want to support it. I mean, it's Gene built it, and people want to support it. We've just got to put a winning program out there, and we'll have that support back.
It does feel like that support is bleeding into it. Now we just got to have the wins on the field, certainly. And I think everybody seems to be rowing in the same direction. All right, so if you're watching us on our video stream, we're talking about the big All Ball Weekend. What we're going to do right now is, for the first time on a video stream, bring in a fourth guest. We've been chatting. Ben is on the other side here. So we're going to bring Ben in. Not to use a baseball term, but we wish you could see in a little inside baseball here, Ben. We're trying to juggle this, and I'm like messaging everybody. I'm like, do we need to get Ben in? How are we doing this? But I'm glad you're here too, because I want to know more about Shepherd's Way, because that's the benefit here of all of this fun. Tell us about Shepherd's Way for anybody out there that doesn't know about that organization.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for having me. It's I always like to start even broader. As we think about, we're talking about Wichita baseball, right? We're talking about Tim Tebow coming to town to excite people about a vision. And so I like to think about the even not just Shepherd's Way, but the broader community of Wichita, right? And so this is a big, fun event that we're putting on that we hope would really move the needle in shifting the paradigm of how we recognize and embrace the value of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in our community, and that our community would then become a model community for other communities around the country. Because there's, today, guys, our organization gets up and drives on the work that we're doing every day, because we're passionate about filling a gap and a need and quite honestly, a burden of 5,300 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities just in the state of Kansas, who have graduated from high school and have entered the really kind of the historic life trajectory for these guys with intellectual and developmental disabilities, is that they enter into an adulthood of lifelong dependency on a family or a caregiver. And then when they inevitably outlive that caregiver, fall into a system that costs us $2.3 million tax dollars just to meet their basic needs. And so that all of that said, I'll circle back to your question of Shepherd's Way is trying to rewrite that life trajectory for one day these 5,300 individuals today on a smaller scale than that. But essentially, our organization serves to exist as the bridge that helps individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities transition out of the margin of society and into a flourishing, value-contributing, employed member of the community. And so I mentioned the $2.3 million tax dollars in the system just to meet basic needs. For $2.2 million less than that, what we found is that we can have a really strategic four-phase program that helps launch adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities into independent, community engaged, and purpose-driven lives. And so it's that's our passion, that's our heartbeat. But really, the bigger vision is we want to transform the landscape of housing, independent living, employment, dignity, and purpose for adults with disabilities in communities across the country. So kind of how that works is we start with a really intensive career development program where we're working on, you know, all of the ancillary life skills that are going to help sustain employment. We're doing the career exploration to figure out what is fulfilling work for our friends with disabilities. And then building in all the soft skills that are required to sustain that employment track, right? And so the executive functions, the social skills, self-awareness skills, all those pieces that are maybe a little more intangible that we kind of overlook, that's what our team's really good at digging in and helping equip our friends with disabilities with. Once I've got a job and I've got a career path and I've got income, then I can move out of that state of dependency on family, right? And I can move out into the community in a peer living setting. And that's a three-phase housing program. So we actually, it's such a fun program model because we get to see growth on two different sides. You know, I loved what Stephanie said earlier about how she was excited for her kids to get involved and learn more. And, you know, what we do is we hire college students or young professionals to live as roommates and peer mentors to help coach peer-to-peer life skills that are going to help these guys launch into a flourishing adulthood and not end up in a system, right? And so it's cool though to see the growth of not just the participant that we're serving, but this is a life-changing thing for those peer mentors at a really formidable age, you know, in college. And so that three-phase program looks like a four-bedroom setting initially with two mentors, two program participants. Over the course of 6 to 12 months, our heart is to empower, right, not to enable dependency. And so we cut back that support by 50% in the second phase after 6 to 12 months with a three-bedroom setting, just one peer mentor, and then eventually four guys who have been through the program, no peer mentors. And that's in that setting where we're able to work on what are those, you know, sustainable supports that are needed to help those guys launch out of the program and be able to sustain their level of independence and purpose and impact for a lifetime. And so that was a probably longer winded than what you were looking for, but I'm super passionate about the work that we do. And it's so fun to get to be on with you guys and get to connect with really just remarkable people like PJ and Stephanie and the other people who have said, yes, we care about these people in our community who have historically been overlooked, and we want to be a part of this event that's going to help bring awareness to empowering them. So,
well, Ben, we're flattered that you asked us to be involved. We're happy to do it. Really looking forward to the weekend. Again, Ben French, the CEO of Shepherd's Way. If you want to learn more about Shepherd's Way, it's shepherds-way.org. If you want to learn more about All Ball Weekend, which is a really fun, exciting event coming next weekend, that's all-ballweekend.org. You can also win those tickets, by the way. We'll keep giving those away. All you got to do there is text the keyword Tim to 20357. Thank you to PJ and Stephanie. Thank you to Ben. We will be out there next week, and we'll talk more about this next week as well with some of the local legends you guys have signed up to be a part of this. Looks like it's going to be a blast, and we appreciate you guys all being on Sports Daily, and thanks for joining us on a multi-video guest maiden voyage here as well.
Great to be with you guys.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Last full segment of Sports Daily right after this. All right. lots of good stuff there. Looking forward to that All Ball Weekend. Thanks to our guests there for coming on and talking about it. We'll have more on that next week and more opportunities for you to win tickets to the event as well. Should be a lot of fun. All right, Tommy. Well, you know, we have got a quick segment here. I think we're pretty much covered on the things we need to cover. Brandon Ayuk still has not been traded. CeeDee Lamb still does not have a contract. Those are the other two big storylines, I think, floating around the NFL right now. I don't know. You know, we always try to see if these things affect the Chiefs. I do think if Brandon Ayuk is traded, it is a major win for the Chiefs. I don't think the Cowboys are real contenders, so I don't think that matters, but those are sort of the two big storylines. And we just watch the preseason. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I think the third, I mean, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up as a Cowboys fan, the drama with CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jones. And I don't know if you saw that. Jerry Jones said there's no urgency in getting a new contract done for CeeDee. CeeDee responded and just with an LOL on social media. So that's out there too. I've seen like all of these pundits talking about what a potential Chiefs and Cowboys trade could look like for CeeDee Lamb to go to Kansas City. It's not happening. I saw a proposed trade that could be CeeDee Lamb in exchange for Rashee Rice and two first rounders. And I'm like, there's no way that Kansas City would even entertain that idea.
Well,
there's
I didn't know they would do that. I didn't entertain it, but Kansas City can't afford the CeeDee Lamb contract, so it doesn't matter.
Brett Veach values draft capital so much.
He trades first round picks all the time. He trades for left tackles all the time. He doesn't care.
But he does value the cheapness of draft picks when you are able to bring them into your team and you've got them locked in for a period of time and not much money. CeeDee Lamb wants a massive contract. There's no way that they would be able to accommodate that.
Don't misunderstand.
They'd rather have the control. They'd rather have the control of Rashee Rice at a cheaper rate than CeeDee Lamb.
There is no way they would do the deal because they can't afford CeeDee Lamb. They can't afford CeeDee Lamb, so it doesn't matter. But I do think Brett Veach doesn't care about trading first-round picks. They took a risk on Felix Anudike Uzama in the first round. They've traded their Frank Clark, Orlando Brown. Like, they don't mind doing it for a star player like that. And CeeDee Lamb is a star player. He's a superstar. But they can't afford him, so it's irrelevant. They couldn't sign him to the deal he wants. It's a joke. Whatever. Cowboys. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to watch and listen to everything this weekend next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.